In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Great Lent, and it's amazing how fast time can go by and life goes by so fast and we don't even feel it. A couple of months ago we were talking about preparation for Lent, and as you remember from the Bible study on Tuesday or Friday, we had many questions about how long the Lent is. But look at this now, the 2 months passed away, 2 weeks passed away, and our life will pass away, like Weber at St. James said. The question is, what we do in our life so we can, when we go up to heaven, inshallah, we answer God about all what we did. And it is the wisdom of the Church to teach us to prepare ourselves for the Great Lent. Like the first Sunday, last Sunday, it was called the Sunday of the Treasures, where you have to lay treasures in heaven. And these treasures will be your work, your life, your family, your children, your good deeds, everything that you do for God. But also, when you get closer to God, you'd expect that Satan will fight, and he will not leave you alone. And the difference is, we, the children of God, we know that God will be always on our side. He will allow temptation at some point of time, but he will always be on your side as a good father who cares about his children. As you care about your children, he will do the same. So why God will leave us for temptation? Because he had many good reasons, which I would like to share with you today in a form of questions and answers. For example, we always ask the question, when temptation started and when did it enter the world? Simply when Adam and Eve committed the sin by not obeying God's commandment. God told them not to eat from the fruit of the tree. They did not listen. It was just a tree. And I can trust Satan instead of trusting God and his church. And I listened to him. Satan said, no, don't listen to God. It's just when you eat from this tree, you will be knowing all good and evil, and you will be like God. See the problem with disobedience? We make ourselves gods. That's why we fall. So God can let us be tempted to find the truth inside each one of us. Do you really love God or you don't? So when temptation entered through Adam and Eve, it continued until now. And you may wonder why God did not stop it. Why didn't he destroy Satan from the first time? Well, here is the point. I want to prove my love to God out of my free will. If God did not give me the free will, I would be complaining. If God destroyed Satan and he said there is no Satan anymore, and then I look outside and see all pleasures of the world, I would say, I did not get the chance to enjoy it. Now look at the other side. If God forced you to follow him and tell you, you must love me, here it is, you should and you must, you will never love him. So it will be your free will, your choice to come closer to God and love him by all your hearts and your mind and your spirit. So when Adam and Eve listened, sin entered into the world and came to us, and we still follow Adam and Eve in their sin. We still listen to Satan and we do not believe the word of God or the word that comes out of the church through the priest of the church. We must be able to fight that. We can, through the grace of God, through the help of God. In case you wonder that God is giving us more than what we should expect, it is not true. Sometimes people say, why God tempt me? God never tempt anyone. He permits, please differentiate between those two words. He permits things to happen when he sees that the thing will have benefit for me. It will be very beneficial for me to go through like a temptation. Ask yourself about your experience now and your experience a year or two ago. If your son or daughter come and ask you a question, I am sure you'll be able to answer because you have been through it. You can tell them, I have been there before. I know what it means to go through a hard time with peer pressure in school. I know how can I address that. I know how to answer the question. St. James tells us something amazing here about this. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So many times we try to blame it on God. The truth is, it is inside us. We are the one who make the decision to follow Satan, obey him, not obeying God. We are the one who are so much proud of what we say and what we do and what we think. But when you trust in your thoughts so much, you don't know that you are destroying yourself. That's one of the reasons why I ask everybody in the church and the deacons and everyone to go for confession. The point of confession is something very important that you should know. You expose the tricks of Satan. He can give us so many thoughts that could be dangerous and destructive. To give you a good practical example, think about someone who committed suicide. If that man spent some time before committing suicide with his father of confession, I'm sure he would be alive here. But for him to go committing suicide, that means he did not ask anyone what to do. I have this problem. Satan is putting me in a corner. He is really, when he keep pushing so hard on you to think about something bad, and then he say there is no other solution. This is it. It's finished. End of the world. It is done. In that time, you find there is no way out except killing myself. And that could be spiritual too. Could be the physical death, could be the spiritual death. And as you know, those who commit suicide are losing their life on earth, of course, and their eternity. And they forget after death, they cause families to suffer. So look at the destruction. We could have avoided all of this if we sit with our Father of Confession. When Satan committed the sin of pride, God cast him out of his presence. Cast him out of his presence. Why? If you wish to be with God, you must be holy. It's one of the reasons when I talk to the deacons, for example, I remind them with their very high holy rank they have as deacons representing the angels who stand around God. As an angel, you are supposed to be holy standing around the throne. So when Abuna asks you to go for confession, it means Abuna cares that you always be in purity. You stand like a true angel around God. If not, Abuna doesn't care. That's the real meaning of it. We should be very truthful and faithful about this. We should humble ourselves and be content with this teaching that God has given us. It's something that St. Paul said in the 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain, because I can have many ideas in my mind that could be very wrong, and I don't know it. How can I know? I go through confession and I speak with my father at confession. He can tell me about the snares that Satan can put for me. This temptation, that's the whole idea of today. The church had this wonderful reading today to tell us and give us a good example. The Lord himself was tempted. The question is, when temptation comes? Temptation comes any time you get closer to God. Remember the story. This is chapter 4 of the book of Matthew about temptation today. In chapter 3, just before, it was talking about the baptism of the Lord. And the heaven opened and the dove came down representing the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Father came, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And after he came out of baptism, what happened? Satan came to tempt him. So whenever you feel that you are in the church getting closer to God, you would expect that Satan will tempt you, will start to fill your heart and your mind with ideas. Thank God, nowadays, Satan cannot appear, come into somebody like back in the days. He can jump into the body of someone. That's what we call it, demon possessed. Doesn't exist anymore. After crucifixion, that doesn't exist. So what kind of power Satan has over God's children? One thing, just one thing, your mind. Start putting ideas in your mind. And he can keep pushing the idea so far that you believe it. So now where will I go and what can I do? Is there any way out? Of course, there is always a way out. And we always will be able to overcome temptation. How can we overcome temptation? As you heard the scripture today, number one is reading the Bible, knowing the Bible, knowing the teaching. For example, as you heard in the scripture today, Satan come and tell him, for example, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But the Lord answered back and says, it is written. See, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. So Satan can use church ideas, can use Bible words, but of course he corrupts the word. He did not say the truth in the following. When he said, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That was not exactly what was written in the psalm. But the Lord answered him and said, it is written again. So the Lord is teaching us how to answer back by the Bible, the teaching of God and the teaching of the church. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. You come at some point of time and you must stop the evil work that's happening and the wrong things that are happening. You must stop it and must tell him, this is out, that's it, no more. You get up on your feet and speak and pray to God and keep praying until God can have mercy on you. I was reading a very interesting story, and on the title of the story it says push. So I was wondering what this push has to do with church story. But the story says, God appeared to a man and told him, there is a big, very big rock stone outside your house in the backyard. I want you to push it away from here. So the man was so happy to see God face to face. The Lord Jesus appeared to him and he said, okay, God, I will do it. Now I see you, it's physical, I trust, I believe, so I will do it. So he started pushing every day that stone. Every day, keep pushing. Then at some point of time, Satan came and told him, do you believe what you have seen is God? That was not God. Then the man said, no, he is God, because I have peace in my heart. I cross myself with the cross, and Satan will disappear from the cross. It must be God. I know him. Then Satan told him, well, also, maybe you misunderstood what God said. Maybe God did not ask you to move it. So look at this. It has been like now almost a year. Did you move it? Not even a single inch or a micro inch. Such a big, huge stone. There is no way that you can move it out. And why don't you just go ahead and, you know, relax and read the Bible and pray? So look at the temptation of Satan. Take you away from the main commandment that you receive and try to use some godly things. So the man said, you are right, I will do it. And he started doing it, and then he had like terrible feeling in his heart that he is doing something wrong. That's against what God taught me. Then he started to come back to himself and sat down and kneeled and prayed and said, God, I have a wrong feeling. I don't know if what you told me before is right or wrong. Then God appeared to him again and said, remember what I told you. I did not tell you to move the stone. I asked you to push. Now, how do you know what I did to yourself? Remember when you started, you were very weak, you were sick. Now look at yourself, at your muscles, at your physical feeling and well-being. You are very strong. You were complaining before, you are sick, you cannot stand up, you cannot pray. Look at yourself. You can walk long distance, you can do so much. I told you to push meaning for each letter of the word, pray until something happened. P-U-S-H, pray until something happened. I did not ask you to move. I told you to push. Your obedience would be the key. But for you not to trust my word and you go to listen to Satan and his like poisonous sweet, that should not work. Watch out for these tricks. So now, does that mean I will always be under the hand of Satan all the time? No, absolutely not. Your prayer would be the key. Your prayer would be the key. For example, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, one little humble suggestion I make for you, always pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Why? It has this great verse in it. Lead us not into temptation. It means I humble myself. Because my Lord, I am weak. I cannot take this big temptation. You know my weakness. Take it away from me. Support me in my weakness. Stand by me. And then, if Satan still keep like fighting you by giving you these ideas and bad thoughts, remember what was written in the book of Proverbs in chapter 24, verse 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. A righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. So please remember this. You have God on your side. Satan has nothing to do with you or overcome you in any way except giving you ideas. He cannot appear to you. He cannot scare you unless you are at such a high spiritual level like St. Anthony or St. Macarius. We are not. We are poor, humble, dust people, speaking of myself. So I know that Satan will never appear to me. I know one thing, that he will keep putting the ideas in my mind, but I also know and believe 100% that God is always on my side to support me and take away from me the thought. Another humble exercise, I may suggest that you pray the arrow prayer. My Lord Jesus Christ, help me a sinner. My Lord Jesus Christ, support me a sinner. My Lord Jesus Christ, take away from me that bad thought, a sinner. And you keep asking for some request. And with your faith, you know that God will lift up the temptation and make you his son, with whom he will be proud because he glorified God in resisting all the temptation that come from Satan. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.